listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground. You're loving that. Are you loving that?
Yeah, I do like that new
intro. It's the third time.
Yeah.
I haven't really committed to it as much as I committed to it the very first time, but then I got cut with that horrible cough.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Anyways, hello, everybody. Welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show. My name is Max, and with me, as always,
is Travis.
Travis, did you listen to last week's episode that we did?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't, because I felt like I was so low energy, I almost felt like embarrassed. But you listened to it. Was
still
it okay?
Solid. It's good.
We great can be proud?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, we were worried we weren't going to have enough to talk about. I thought we had...
Yeah, it was still a perfectly decent episode in terms of length, I remember.
Yep. And interesting discourse, which is all we hope for.
That's right. News and notes? Do we have any news and notes?
Yeah, all of the combatants for the upcoming Battle of Los Angeles were named, and quite a few Lucha Underground talent getting the call.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got, Rey Fénix, Jeff Cobb, Brian Cage.
Oh, nice.
Sami Callihan, Ricochet, and Penta El Zero M.
Yeah. And Melissa Santos, it would be safe to assume that she'll be ring announcing?
I don't know.
Did she ring announce for the last one?
For the most part, I know that Brandi Rhodes got to do her little piece.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And they probably had to pay her, too.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Okay, right on. That's good news and note.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any PWG. I know that I should.
Yeah.
Actually, I watched Aerostar versus Brian Cage from like 2 years ago, and it was... good, except that Aerostar sometimes does that weird like thing where he slips on the ropes, but it looks like such a convincing botch.
Yes.
Anyways, that's the only thing I can remember from the whole match.
I've watched the last two events. I don't watch if something gets a lot of noise, I will seek out something from that's not from Battle of Los Angeles, but I try to watch all of Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I brought to the table for news and notes.
Ooh.
Lucha Underground's Katrina joins the biopic Mapplethorpe. What is that? Let me tell you. It's about a photographer, Robert Mapplethorpe, who gets popular in the 70s as a photographer, I guess, and then he dies in 1989 due to AIDS. Why are you laughing? There's nothing funny about that.
Just to the delivery.
Thank you.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Katrina will play, Carly Perez will play one of his muses and the first world women's bodybuilding champion.
Interesting.
News and notes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that the name of that photographer before, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I could be wrong.
I've never heard. Anyways, let's get into the match.
Most importantly, violence!
Oh, actually, I wanted to ask you as well.
Okay.
So we had hinted during the last episode about Robert Charlton, Lucha Underground superfan, making a cameo in my wedding. Did he reach out to you about that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. I'm curious to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, he's waiting for the invite. What do you think he was going to say?
I don't know. I cannot wait to show him, as well as, anyways, I can't reveal anything else.
This looks pretty cool. I got a sneak peek.
Let's get to the episode.
Most importantly, violence.
Lucha Underground season 3, episode 26. Recap all of Cueto Cup round 1 highlights. We see some of Sexy Star and Worldwide Underground and their beef. Fénix and Melissa Santos, as well as Marty the Moth, and a reminder of the little bit about Tejano and Famous B.
Mm-hmm.
We enter the temple. Spirits are high.
Yeah, I'd say so.
We got El Conchita della whatever it was. This is the second time they've been there this season.
This
is who we've seen. Yeah. It just feels like so long ago, right? This is who we had said should be the house band, and I still agree. I still think so. Yeah. I still think the guy Sergio De La Rue is still the best.
Absolutely,
the best. But this is like if they had to pick one, I think this is them.
It fits the brand.
Yeah.
Was this the band that was playing when Sexy Tar posed as one of them?
Or
was that someone else? Was that Metalachi?
I don't know. I can't. It might have been Metalachi. Yeah. I feel like it's been a couple bands have gone through before these guys, since we last saw these guys.
Have you noticed that recently, at the beginning of every episode, in the lower right-hand corner, there's that little graphic for Man at Arms, Art of War?
Yes.
What is that? Do you think that's a show with a script? Or do you think it's some kind of reality show? What do you think that is? What's your guess?
Well, we know the El Rey Network is listening, hopefully. We don't know if they are. We'd like to believe they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can fill us in.
Maybe we should be doing an after-show podcast about Man at Arms.
Sure.
I want to know, is it a scripted show? Or is it like a serial like magazine style show talking about different swords or something. You know what I mean?
This
ancient warrior class used this sword.
Yes, or is it like a reality show where somebody has to like live you get to choose, you can take this mace or you can have this this broadsword. You just choose one and then we're going to throw you out and there will be several trained knights.
That's right. You have to fight. You have to get into a melee.
Yeah.
Which, it's weird, too, because it's Man of Arms, Art of War. So it's not just, it's got like a subtitle.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be a scripted show. Like CSI Miami. Yeah,
it's from Man at Arms,
Law and Order. Art of War.
I love Man at Arms. I do watch Man of Arms SVU. That's good. I recommend it.
Nice.
Anyways, whatever. People are dancing. As I said, the spirits were high when he went in. I got a first match of round two, which is Jeremiah Crane versus Taya. Really long entrances from both of them. It's usually not a good sign in terms of what we're going to get. Obviously, match length, but you know, that probably means they've had to trim some fat, right?
Huh. I don't know. I've never noticed that myself.
This one felt long. This one felt like they really kind of dragged it out. And I think a little bit in some of the other matches.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way in any way. I don't know. This is all new to me.
Maybe trim the fat was a wrong choice of word. It's like they've kind of had to keep the fat on, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you felt like maybe the match was under time. And then
I think for this whole, like, wow, okay, well, we've got a full episode. We've shot everything that we have for this episode. We still have a minute and a half left.
Stretch it out.
Okay. So this whole match, Jeremiah Crane is just nasty.
It's so true.
He like starts with this nasty tope, followed by that round the world where he runs around the thing, that running flip into the chairs, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And on
Cannonball? Cannonball?
Yeah, I guess so. Taya is tough, man, but this match was hard to watch.
From like an intergender standpoint?
Yeah.
Did you just imagine your young daughter in place of Taya?
No, I just think there's something about strikes.
There's a lot of punches.
And slaps.
Yeah.
That slap
sequence. I mean, there was a whole... I mean, if it was two Japanese dudes doing it to each other in the Tokyo Dome, I wouldn't have batted an eye.
No.
You know? No. But it was unsettling for Jeremiah Crane to get the upper hand on that.
Yes, yes.
And to do so forcibly. Especially because, like, when Taya was doing it, I'm sure everybody who's watched the episode knows exactly what we're talking about, because it resonated.
Yeah.
When Taya was having her slap moment, she was going back and forth, same hand.
Yeah.
Right? So the backhands on the slaps didn't have quite the brutality.
Yes.
As her forward strikes.
Sure.
They were still stiff. They were still strong.
Yeah.
But then Crane retorts with just left, right, left, right, left, right. And it was so brutal. And it was... a little troubling.
Yeah.
Even for someone like me who is relatively comfortable with intergender wrestling. Mm-hmm.
As somebody who just like you despise bleeding heart liberals.
That's right. Oh boy. But yeah, I mean, there's something about Jeremiah Crane, Sami Callihan's matches that are just so stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Or it at least appears that way. Yeah, Taya seemed to bounce back every time. There was like three or four times in this match I thought.
And that was another problem I had with this, is that she didn't sell at all. Oh. I hated when she got.
Oh, that's interesting.
When she got the like rejuvenated from that really nasty boot.
I was relieved when that happened, honestly, yeah. Because it seems so brutal. There was a couple of moments in this where I was just like, that was just a shoot punch. That was just a shoot kick. And if it wasn't for Taya like kind of bouncing back in those moments, I would have been like, ooh, something is wrong here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but I appreciate it and almost found it like a moment mm-hmm. of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost a reminder, like, hey, Max, don't worry. This is just art, you know?
I know. But once you start, because, you know, there was that conversation or something. It's like, don't worry, I can take it. I can handle it.
Yeah.
And that's... it's hard to separate that.
What do you mean?
I can take a good mm-hmm. hard punch. I can take a good shoot kind of slap here and stuff. This is a woman saying this to a man.
Yeah.
And it starts to, that's a, I don't want to say
problematic
slope. It's just something that doesn't sit well.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean... You know, I might just be a bleeding heart liberal, but I don't know. But for me personally, you know, with my values,
yeah,
I can watch it and be like, you know, if it wasn't for an audience of one, if they had created this television show just for me to sit down and watch, I'd be like, totally cool. Love it. No big deal. But there's something about that sense of like, oh well, I don't know how all these other people are interpreting this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for some reason, like, I can't control it,
mm-hmm.
So it makes me a little uneasy because I wouldn't want somebody to look at that and then turn around and slug their wife.
Yes,
you know? I know, but I mean, silly is that to even say aloud?
I know.
But I mean, I feel like that's the source of my uneasiness.
Mm.
It's not that I feel like, I know.
Usually
I can
don't,
watch
usually,
it how they want me
and
to watch
when Taya and Joey Ryan worked together, it was smooth and it turned out to be a really good match. Mm-hmm. But this
is the brutality of Jeremiah Crane.
Yes.
The dude, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he was trained up in like a deathmatch promotion. So I think all his stuff is just brutal. Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his match with Killshot was the stiffest I've ever seen Killshot work.
Mm-hmm.
And there was times when Killshot took strikes that just looked like he'd just been like straight a punch in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's just his style. Yeah. You know, I think he just works a little stiffer. Mm-hmm. And I have to
maybe that's what it was.
Killshot stepped up to the plate and he went toe to toe. And now Taya, to her credit, did the same.
That's what I said. Taya is, so, I admire, her just bravery.
I know.
And
well, that's why I had her winning, because I thought, because this isn't the first time she's been in a match like this. She had that mm-hmm. match against Cage that was also equally brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Her, like, I don't know if she got thrown through like a
cinder block,
right? And I was like, oh, well, this is like her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll definitely stick her up against Mill, and then he can mm-hmm. like, she can take all that punishment.
I will say I'm happy that these are kind of few and far between. I mean, we're not really having the full intergender conversation here that's been had a thousand times, because this is we've established there's different rules in Lucha Underground, and it's a different kind of suspension of disbelief. Normally, I'd say nine times out of ten, I'm on board. I feel the same thing.
Yeah.
It's
just the way that Jeremiah Crane works. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also his persona as being this weird, dark character, mm-hmm. this crazy guy. There's something about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's more real than like a guy in a lucha mask.
Sure.
You know, there's something uneasy about that dude.
Yeah.
A testament to his performance.
Character, performance. Yes. He's super talented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, this I mean, it's really, if you think about it, it's quite masterful.
I know.
The whole thing.
I know.
Fantastic. Also, I just want to take a quick turn here. Are Ivelisse and Crane, are they still a couple? Is that a thing? Yeah,
goodness me. They really had to, like, whatever that injury was, just...
Stryker mentioned her in this episode. That's what jogged my memory about
it.
But she's just not around.
No, you're right.
Not even at the tapings, not woven into any story.
Yeah. I guess it probably happened early enough that they're like, okay, well, we can try to fit her in things, but would it be easier to just kind of...
She has a match versus Katrina in
I know. So anyway, post-match, Sexy Star enters with the brass knuckles and just levels.
Yeah.
So where are we now with these guys?
Because it was kind of like
the dusting off afterwards too, like hey.
I know,
old Sexy bringing the
no kidding. I gotta say I think this is the sexiest that Sexy Star has ever been. Yeah. I have to tell you, I'm not afraid to admit.
It's a different kind of sexy, I suppose. Ooh, she's a bad girl.
Oh no, I don't know. Just some of the way she's dressed.
Okay.
I was into
okay.
it. So is Sexy Star a heel?
I think just because of the way she kind of dusted it off and gave the audience a wink, I think no. I think maybe we're hinting at a Taya face turn because there was some of that dissension with Mundo in the past.
Yeah, but I would accept it more if Taya had been dressed as a spider.
Yes,
and therefore she's like,
all bets are off. Normally, I don't resort to brass knuckles, but
God, the spider stuff.
God, I hate spiders.
That we're never gonna find out what that spider thing was.
No.
Never.
You might be right.
Oh God.
Next sequence. Our backstage.
Oh wait. I wanted to ask you, do you remember what Sami Callihan's name was when he was in NXT?
Solomon Crow.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wonder if you go back and you look at his matches in NXT, is there any glimmer of this level of brutality?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, let's take a look.
I don't know. I feel like it was
right after, maybe right after the network was on, but I wasn't getting it yet. So it'll be interesting to check it out.
What about when he was in Battle of Los Angeles? Was there any sense of this?
To some extent. It is. I remember his match with Cody. But that had some like shenanigans. With the Space Cat thing. Yeah, I wonder how often he does that now.
The Space Cat?
That's what Sami Callihan has, this like kind of Space Cat gimmick. I don't see it as much.
Huh.
I could be wrong. I just don't really follow his career outside of this.
Yeah.
Next sequence is Phoenix in the gym and enter Aerostar.
Yeah. You really enjoyed this.
I really, really did.
Yeah, I did too.
Aerostar's performance here, I think,
goes really
right into that. Facial coverings, whatever, best.
Oh, yeah. Dario, oh, so Cueto. He's like, It's the non-Dario, best non-Dario Cueto performance. It's the Dario Cueto Award for best non-Dario Cueto performance, Spanish language.
Facial obstructions.
We can just say Spanish language makeup.
Okay.
You think?
Okay, sure.
Spanish language makeup.
Okay.
Spanish language.
I think Aerostar deserved, like, he this is the first time we really kind of see him have to kind of do some serious
emote.
Yeah. And he didn't overdo it as the way a lot of these wrestler turned actors do.
I thought Phoenix did fantastic as well.
Yep. Phoenix is awesome, man.
And well, not just because you're awesome doesn't mean you can act.
It's true. So he says he's putting all his money on Phoenix, just like Melissa had said. He's like, you should, what did he say about betting on a time traveler? Shouldn't be betting, you know,
it's silly to
bet against a time traveler. And the great little thing on the way out where he asked him,
hey, am I going to win tonight? Won't tell him because he's a responsible time traveler.
He is.
He knows if he starts saying stuff, whole world's
gonna Aerostar can never turn heel. He's like,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. He'd be like,
all black.
Yeah,
just a gold glowing thing in his chest.
Yeah, he's like, looking for cosmic domination, you know, like Thanos.
Who can take him out? Nobody can take him out. No. You go back in time, he'll beat you as a kid. Yeah. Cage. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Time traveling Cage.
That's the only. Now we have to rely on him in the gauntlet.
My God. I love it.
Anyways.
Can't wait to find out what's up. There's so much stuff going on. Anyways, Phoenix and Aerostar, fantastic performance. Definitely, you know, I think there's some nominations in there for both gentlemen.
Okay, yeah, sure.
For best, the Dario Cueto Award for best non-Dario Cueto performance, Spanish language makeup.
Perfect. Should we go to this next match? There's two left here, but I feel like we've chatted quite a bit.
We're at 21 minutes. Yeah, sure thing. Well, here's a note from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah. I feel like I keep getting stuck on announcers, but this guy's a former wrestler and aging, and he's got the look, and he's good. Jerry Lawler would be a great chief.
Oh, yeah.
On Lucha City Nights.
I love that.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler circa 2017.
Sure. I think he's got to have like some of those, that crow's feet.
Definitely.
Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. How could you sneak in like a crown into his
something like that?
Yeah, maybe just like a lapel pin.
Yeah,
like a classic. Like yeah, thanks.
I'm the king of Boyle Heights.
That's not bad. Yeah, totally. And then he comes in and he's had a great reputation for cleaning up another district, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just finds out that he has, but he had to be moved due to sexual harassment charges.
It's a bit of a shoot.
Is it?
Yeah. Sounds about right. Anyways. Lucha City Nights continues. All right, where are we at?
Next match, Mil Muertes versus Paul London.
I got to tell you, this I think has been my favorite match of this entire tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not the best match, but it usurped
Masquerita Sagrada
versus Pindar. Yeah. Yeah. I had not really been on board with the Rabid Tribe or anything mm-hmm. like that. And Paul London hadn't really... I didn't know him from before, so he had to win me over, and he did with this match, mm-hmm. and I found myself cheering for him
out loud.
I wanted him to win.
Yeah.
And sadly, of course, it did not happen, but as I was watching, I was like, man, I am so, like, I feel invested.
Good.
In good. Wanting him to win. Yeah. So
and that's
really
all him, man. That's all him. Mm. That's great. Yeah, Mil Muertes was dialed in early. Went to a break right after. And Paul London, I wanted to talk a bit about entrance music and mm-hmm. and how much of a role or lack of a role it plays.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
From time to time.
That in is this. Such a good point.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell you one song. One entrance song.
I could
song.
Tell you Masquerita Sagradas because it's the same music as the Nathan yeah. for You theme song.
Apparently. But yeah, I couldn't hum one.
No.
I couldn't tell you... If you played me music, I couldn't tell you whose was who.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should try that next time. Yeah. Maybe next week I'll find some. Oh, maybe I can. I don't even know.
Yeah.
No idea how to find it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like it's something they put effort into.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like it's just canned whatever.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. But anyways, but with Rabbit Tribe, and especially with Paul London today, there's just like this long reverb. That's what it sounded like. And they went to break after he was introduced. It came back. The reverb was still kind of going. It just sounded like, has somebody not turned off a speaker? It was weird. So, yeah, we do get that really great Paul London history lesson
mm-hmm.
from Matt Stryker, which is great.
Yes. Paul London, Samoa Joe. Death Before Dishonor 2003?
Yeah, gotta check that out. Yeah, that was really cool. I loved him doing the when there was the chant going on and he would do this little crotch thrust to the Mil Muertes, like he was doing it for Mil Muertes.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, man.
Some early shenanigans, believable offense. Mil Muertes no sells, even though he is, Paul Lennon is finding good and creative ways to try to match the brutality and mm-hmm. strength of Mil Muertes. He does a lap around the ring. That was funny. I think it was like two laps. Mil Muertes takes over, and then we should see some really good selling from Paul London. Pretty good strength versus that, like I said, good strength versus this kind of goofy speed style that he has. That loved his those super kicks going around the ring.
That was amazing. There was like seven in a row.
Yeah,
and then the Rabbit Tribe does their
did their entrance and left again.
Yep.
They said, or Stryker made a point of saying that they served a purpose this time and that they stopped the ref's count.
Okay.
Because you saw when he gave him a high five.
Right. I didn't even notice that.
But yeah, point. I loved those super kicks. Each one, like, it would seem like he would almost fall forward with each one. Like, he's putting so much into it.
Yeah, and it had to happen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
They did a fantastic job of making me believe that he might win, because at the beginning of this match, it just felt like there was just no way.
Yeah.
Just no way.
Mm-hmm.
And
the way he had advanced was pretty cheesy, right? So, like, what do we have
mm-hmm.
to go on to think that this guy could put up a fight within this universe, anyways?
Yeah.
He had that nice double stomp, and he did that really funny pose that was kind of, I don't know what it was. Mil Muertes grabs him with the
choke. That was him doing the rabbit, because he went up with the ears. If you watch, he takes his hands, he puts them behind his head, then he goes straight up, and then he flicks his fingers over like they're the tip of floppy ears.
That's
awesome. I think he's even trying to do a buck tooth thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice touch. Loving I thought it. I thought that was going to lead into like Paul Linden's finisher, but then I realized I don't know what his finisher is. We've never seen it. Maybe
you're right.
You know.
So yeah, Mertes hits a chokeslam for a near fall. Rabbit Tribe come in and get a little more involved this time. Mil Muertes hits a punch, the classic Mil Muertes punch.
Those punches are just so good.
Yeah, but who did he hit? What's his name? Malice Suerte. He smoked him. And Paul London, because off the distraction, is able to hit one shooting star for a near fall. Doesn't go. Hits another shooting star for another near fall. Things are really heating up. This is when we're starting to think, no, it couldn't possibly. Mm-hmm. But then, boom, in comes the five-finger death punch, Reaper's Trident, and the flatliner for the win. A good match, as I wrote here. Really picked up at the end.
Poland.
London gets his lick. You hear a lucky bastard chant from the crowd. I
thought totally. That was pretty there funny. Was a couple of times they cut to Karina, who's watching Paul London, and the look on her face is priceless.
It felt like a shoot. She's kind of, what the hell is
going on here? A lot of fun. Man, really enjoyed it a lot. Paul London, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, yes. Easily his best match since coming to. But and this
only is second or third, I think.
I think he'd been involved in
trios tags. Matches. Yeah. At one point during this match, Vampiro makes the call. And we haven't talked about the announcers at all so far this episode. But overall, I thought they did great.
Mm-hmm.
Even Vampiro made us laugh a couple times in the Marty Moth match.
Got a line written down here.
At some point in this match, the London Mil Muertes match, Vampiro says, "I've said it before, French Revolution." What the hell did that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah, who knows?
No idea.
No. Why? I got nothing. Just, I
nonsensical.
Hear, I'd probably have to hear it again to even try to understand. But I think he's just
London was in the corner, and Mil Muertes was punched. Was giving him a series of clotheslines.
Oh, a guillotine.
Oh, is that what those are?
Yeah. Guillotine clotheslines.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Must be. Let's go with that.
Sure.
Next segment. Tejano and Brenda hanging out in the country bar. Brenda starts shooting on Tejano.
This is boring, right?
Because you can tell that.
I feel like El Rey has been listening to this podcast.
Gets a little too, cutting a little too close to the bone because he does not care for it.
No.
Tejano is not boring. I'm going to break that whiskey glass. But she's like, "Don't worry, you just need a woman's touch," or something she said. And we see that Famous Bee is just kind of watching in the wings.
He's using her to seduce him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
And then we're gonna get I'm guessing super sequin chaps, go full rodeo star.
That could be cool,
kind of thing with them.
I could be on board.
Yeah.
Who does he fight though? I wonder.
The Masquerita Sagrada's gotta get Famous Bee has this blood feud with this guy.
Oh god, I hope that. I hope just the Famous Bee is hatred. Never gonna let it go. Did Masquerita Sagrada come out on top of that feud?
Yes.
I can't even remember.
Yes,
I felt they let it linger for too long.
We were worried, but yeah, no. He's,
okay, good. He's I can't remember. It was a huge break.
Uh-huh.
I did find the Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor show from 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Title match, or the headlining match, Samojo versus Paul London. Didn't seem to resonate with the cage match crowd, but that's okay. Also, some pretty amazing matches on here. CM Punk versus Raven. You know, I said some pretty great matches, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know who all these people are. So okay. I'll probably cut that out as well.
Next match. Phoenix versus Marty the Moth. Marty the Moth has a box, and right away I wrote down, what's in the box? It turns out it's a sandwich.
Just right now, I was out of the room for the sandwich. Max, so can you describe the sandwich?
It's just like pastrami and just kind of like meat.
Was it in a bun or was it in sliced bread?
No, it was two slices of bread.
That was a smart move.
Looked like it was whole wheat, possibly multigrain.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. He kind of rubs it in Santos's face. At this point, see, after this came after the Rabbit Tribe match, where they're just running in and running out of, and like having a blast. And at this point, when I see him doing this, I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? Hey, come on, just let me put a sandwich in her face. Like, they're all just like, all right, fine.
Oh, good.
But it turned out there was a reason. They had to show that it was a lunchbox.
Right.
And this match starts with Marty just giving himself like that front wedgie, and Vampiro loves it for some reason. A really great mesh of styles here. Mariposa gets involved early. Awesome work on the outside together. Phoenix hits his acrobatics like he always does.
Yep.
I've seen just a really nice psychology, because they're showing that they're evenly matched, but they're two different guys. But so every time someone would start to get an upper hand, someone would like, no. Boom, now I have it for a bit, and then it would just be back and forth like that. Melissa Santos cheering him on. I feel like we got to hear her speak Spanish for the first time here.
Is that true?
I'd have to hear it again. It sounded like it. Marty the Moth starts tearing the mask. That's always instant. That'll give you a quarter star on whatever else you've got out there, at least in the trousers scale.
Yeah, that was a big moment. I don't think we've seen Phoenix get Muertes
in it. Yeah, and quite possibly the best match in Lucha. Arguably the best match in Lucha Underground history.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Vampiro really puts the mask over. I loved that when he was just talking, this is your life. Like, it is.
Yeah.
So good. Here's what I want to say. Marty the Moth, quietly, because it's been so long, he's having a great season.
Yeah, man. Marty. So the reason why I have the web right in front of me is because I was watching Marty Moth, and I'm just like, he wins me over more and more every single time he's on the screen. The guy, for me, is such a talent. It got me thinking, like, where does he wrestle when he's not wrestling on this show?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I never hear about him being in any sort of independent promotion. Mm-hmm.
He's getting booked. He follows us.
Well, that just goes to show you that he's not doing anything else.
That's not true.
So I pulled up his stats.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And just to give you a sense here, so Sammy Callahan, we were talking about him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He has almost 1,956 recorded matches. Career matches. You know, these numbers aren't 100%.
Going back to
the year 2006.
Okay.
So before that, I mean, who knows? It's probably a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Marty the Moth, Marty Martinez, as he is known, has 98.
Going back to
2007.
Wow.
Yeah. What is going on there? I'll tell you where he wrestled before this. I mean, he had wrestled in the NWA promotions. We're talking four matches and, you know, here, one match there. I mean, the guy in 2011, for example, wrestled four matches. Four. Unless he's wrestling under a mask.
Pseudonym that we had
somewhere. Anything
about.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So far in 2017, he's wrestled. Don't forget that Lucha Underground was all taped from before, but we're in July.
Yes.
It was 7 months in.
Yes.
The guy's wrestled five matches.
Wow.
What's happening here?
I don't get it.
Me neither.
I don't get
one in AAA, probably based on his Lucha Underground work.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's about it. Some random independence.
Interesting. One wonders what is the real Martin Caucus up to?
Yeah.
What's going on, man? We'd love to hear from you. Love to have you on the show, Marty.
You know what? Let's look him up in IMDb.
Okay.
I wonder if he's a trained wrestler, but more of an actor?
It's possible. He is a good actor. He commits. He goes for it.
There's his headshot.
Oh, man.
There's his headshot.
Martin Casas. Sorry, Marty. Casas. Casas.
Yeah, I mean, no.
It's all wrestling stuff?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Well, he was on Tough Enough. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, he even had a couple of appearances on Raw. Anyways. Strange.
It is strange. It's a weird and wacky business.
What does he do during the
day? He looks great there, though, eh? What would you cast him as?
He's a thick boy. You know?
Yeah. But he's got a good look.
He does.
Yeah.
There he is. I don't know. He's so thick. So wide.
Yeah.
It's hard to...
Hey, great shape there in the younger...
Yeah, totally.
We're just flipping through like Martin's... IMDb pictures.
Anyways. So that's, there's a mystery. What's that guy do all day?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do all day?
Well, I'll tell you what he did in this match. He hit a really nice German suplex.
Yeah.
Phoenix with that awesome kick off of the ropes, the way he kind of walked. Or, do you remember this? The way he kind of
bounced. Yeah, the springboard, like, enziguri.
Yeah, it was really different. Double stomp for a near fall. Wild move from Marty. He doesn't get the pin, and he starts to do that Matt head mash that we followed for. This is where we got that great Vampiro line. It's like, man, how many day passes does this guy get? That was awesome. Really good heat in this match. Phoenix is out just late in the match, and Melissa's cheering him on. Melissa gets involved in a match on Lucha Underground, grabs Mariposa before she can give him the box. And then that really cool kind of pinning combination with the with the backwards bridge for the win. Phoenix advances. I'm at 3.25 on this.
Yeah.
But then, good God. The post-match. Post-match. Beatdown. He eats a bit from the lunch, but then grabs a fork.
This I like this because it was like, oh, I'm just opening up the lunch box to get my sandwich.
And, then and he's a crazy
fork.
Guy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I have a fork. And then you gotta see him think about what he's gonna do. When Lucha Underground eventually stops taping, which could literally be already.
Yes.
And it will become this cult status thing. I think this will be one of those infamous moments.
Mm-hmm.
Marty the Moth and the fork.
Yeah.
It's so violent.
Yes.
You know? Not Dario Cueto violent.
Violence!
But real
quiet today.
Yeah, that's right. Here. This is cigar juice! But it's just going to be one of those things that's going to be like on the top 10 moments. Saying. Top 10
iconic
moments.
Iconic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was gnarly.
Yeah, gnarly and unsettling.
Stabbing.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, he's
do
a,
they
he's
do
a
it
pro.
The hard? Do they do it? Do
no,
they,
no, no, no.
Do they blade?
I think that. I think that Phoenix was down for a while there. I think the blade job happened just before.
But Mario you think it was a blade? You don't think it was makeup?
No. Meaning you never trust. Well, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you never, I read it in Brett's book, you never let someone else do the blade job for you. Because this is a nasty one where Dynamite Kid just, Davey Boy, and he just kind of felt it and he just kind of flinched. And then during that flinch, it made it like a, I know, right?
Disgusting.
I know, so harsh. Disgusting. So harsh. But that was, that was something. That was, and added with Mariposa just holding Melissa, and Melissa hitting some really tough notes here emotionally.
Yeah.
Very believable. Excellent performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's got to at least be on the list.
I was expecting an Aerostar run in here.
Yes,
because we had seen him previously in the episode,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't go for it. Mm-hmm. They let him. They let the whole thing just simmer.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
It was dark. A dark way to end things.
I had read some behind the scenes stuff. It turns out Aerostar was trying to hunt down John Wilkes Booth, and
Jesus.
Otherwise,
he's not Canadian. He's from Alberta.
Otherwise occupied.
Yeah, nicely done. So is this a foreshadowing to Melissa in the Ring?
Not this season, I don't think, but goodness me. We talked about following God, what was her name? Somebody on Instagram. I can't remember. But I've started following Melissa I've been following Melissa Santos on Instagram and just following her daily stories. She is committed to getting in shape.
Looking buff.
Looking great.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, we've established that.
So...
Oh, that Instagram, it was Kari Hojo.
Nice. Thanks for reminding me. You know what we've been forgetting to do?
Is
look up the next week. So next week, episode 27, Fade to Black. Fade to Black. The Cueto Cup continues. Vampiro gives counsel to Prince Puma on his match. Maybe that's the fading to black.
Right.
Johnny Mundo introduces his agent to the worldwide underground.
Ooh.
So we have a new character incoming.
Cool.
Yeah, it could be fun.
It's Daga with a sword. That's how he gets in negotiations.
Daga with a sword.
What I want hell? My cut. Yeah, you say that every time.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
We should do bracket updates.
Oh, yes, of course.
I had a good night.
Mm-hmm.
I went 3-for-3. The only person to also go 3-for-3 is our boy Bobby C. So we are tied atop right now with 18 points.
Nice.
Coming up tied for second, we got Christopher Kent and Stefan Adamus, who each got 4 points this week. They're at 16 points. Then we got bringing in the rear, you and our good
buddy. I also got 4 points.
You got 4 points, and that brings you up to 15.
Well, how much do the guys ahead of me have?
They're at 16.
And you have?
18.
And Bobby C has 18. Anybody's game.
Anybody's game.
Anybody's game. I did have another, so, you know, I had Son of Madness.
Yes.
Son of Madness.
Yeah. So did I.
Yeah, going all the way to the end. I also had Taya going into second into the next round.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Did have Mill. Did have Phoenix. Should be interesting to see what happens. Cage is a... I mean, is Cage is just going to win this thing, right?
That's who you pick?
No, I said Pentagon, actually.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Well, that's my final, actually.
Pentagon Cage?
Yeah.
As is mine.
Yeah. Ooh.
As is mine.
Ooh.
What do these guys have? Do we know off the top of our head?
I don't have.
No, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for us.
Find us on Twitter. Look for @ Lucha _Aftergrund. Just look for Lucha Afterground on Twitter. Follow us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for PTBN Wrestling. We'll be there as well as a lot of other great content. We're excited. We've got coming up here a pretty fun little wrestling weekend here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
NXT's in town tomorrow. And then on Saturday, it's ECCW's biannual great show, Barroom Brawl, with Dalton Castle is mm-hmm. going to be on that card, among some other names, and maybe some surprises.
I believe Nicole Matthews has a surprise challenger.
Yeah. Could be cool.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?
Good stuff.